Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9. And if you have the King James, I will simply give you the whole prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And the portion that I want us to consider tonight is the third divine petition. There are six specific petitions. Listen. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Three petitions, Godward. Now, listen to the mandate. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And those are the three requests mandate. So take the first three for a moment. The first one has to do with God's person. His name is that which declares what he is. For instance, God is light, God is love, God is the Almighty. So when it says, hallowed be thy name, it means that we are to pray for the sanctification, the reverence toward God's person. That's the very first thing that we are to pray for. Now, the second thing is God's kingdom. Thy kingdom come. And I told you that God's kingdom is God's reign. It says in Psalm 103 that his kingdom ruleth over all. So the kingdom of God is the rule of God. And then tonight we want to consider thy will be done. So, we have God's person prayed for. It is to be sanctified, hallowed. His kingdom, we are to pray that it might come. And his will, we are to pray that his will might be done. Please notice that there are two spheres that have to do with God's will, with intelligent beings doing that will. It speaks of one of those spheres that is ours in the future. Literally, right now, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But in the future, we are going to be with our Lord in heaven. But it says, thy will be done in earth. That means in the sphere of earth, like it's done in heaven, it's done in earth. So, there is a sphere in which God's will is to be done, heavenward and earthward. The difference is this. The prayer for his will to be done on earth is not the same as the prayer for his will to be done in heaven, but his will being done in heaven is our prayer, that as it is done in heaven, his will might be done on earth. So remember that. We never pray, O God, let your will be done in heaven. His will is always done in heaven. At one time, there was the rising up against his will, the preeminence of God, but then Satan was cast out. But I will tell you about it now. I think it will be just as good as any time. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God's will is done in heaven. So look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Look at verse 19. The Lord hath established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, that is the armies of angels, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Now, this is delightful. You realize that the things that we would turn from that God asks us to do, that every angel in heaven would count it the greatest honor to be called upon to do that will. There have been angels, and we know two of them by name. Those are the only ones that we do know. There was Lucifer, the fallen angel, but then there is Michael, the archangel, and there is Gabriel, one of the seven angels that stand in the presence of God. And there was an occasion when God said, Gabriel, I want you to go and speak to Mary, the Virgin. Nothing thrilled his heart more. And in the coming day, God shall say to Michael, the archangel, we shall descend from heaven with a shout, and that angel will rejoice to do God's will. In like manner, you'll find that throughout the scriptures, angels, as God's messengers, are sent, and not one of them ever complains. You'll find in the book of Revelation, an angel that comes and assists John. And so, the angels are God's heavenly hosts, his messengers, and not one of them, since the fall of Satan, has ever disobeyed his will. So, that is what our Savior knows, and that is why he tells us to pray that as God's will is done in heaven, so may God's will be done on earth. Now, let me show you the difference. In Matthew chapter 21, it said, a father had two sons, and he said to one of his sons, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he said, I will not. No angel would ever think of such a thing. But on earth, God's will is not done. And then his other son was asked the same thing. He said, I go, sir. But he did not go. And so at times we resist God's will, but then in his grace, at times, his will is carried out, even by those that have vehemently said we will not do God's will. And then there are some that talk much about God's will, and they fail to do God's will. So there is his will that is done in heaven, and then there is his will that we pray might be done on earth. And it speaks about this, which is so interesting. It speaks about God revealing through the church his wisdom. Think of the women that are covered when they pray or prophesy as God would have them. And it says in 1 Corinthians 11, they are to be covered because of the angels. And think that a woman that is covered has taken her place as the man is the head of the woman, as Christ is the head of the church, and the angels look down from heaven and see in women today an obedience that was not found in Eve, that first woman. So the angels that always do God's will look down and rejoice when they see women that are doing God's will. Also, they look upon us as well when we obey God or when we disobey God. And also, they are very, very keen on our faith in God, our belief in what he said. Do you remember? When Gabriel was sent to speak to Zacharias, and he told him he was going to have a son, and Zacharias said, how can this be? I'm an old man. My wife cannot have children anymore. And Gabriel said to him, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. He said, and because you believe not what I told you, you shall be silent until what I told you was going to come to pass shall come to pass. Isn't that remarkable? That not only do they obey God, but they completely and without reservation believe God. When God speaks a word, they never think of doubting it. They know that that word is as good as accomplished. And whenever God gives them a bidding, they carry it out immediately. So that is the difference between heaven and earth. And the Lord Jesus knows that God's will is done in heaven. But he says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so let our hearts have the minds of angels. And when God would have us to do something, let us remember that it is a great honor for God to call upon us to carry out his bidding in this area or in that area. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is the most startling thing, that the very one who taught us to pray, thy will be done, himself prayed, thy will be done. You may find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke the prayers of our Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane. And concerning the will of God, no one has ever been asked to do the will of God to the extent that the Lord Jesus Christ was asked to. The greatness of the will of God for the person of Jesus Christ. The Father informed his Son that I want you in your own body to bear sins upon the tree. I want you to be made sin for sinful men, that they might be made the righteousness of God in you. And the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, remember this. It is never sinful to discuss God's will for your life openly as Christ did. If there are hard things that he wants us to experience, there is nothing wrong for us to say, Father, is there some other way that your will could be carried out, that what you desire to be fulfilled could be accomplished without my having to go through this? Because the Lord Jesus did, but then he ended it, nevertheless, not my will but mine be done. And it's one of the best things for us to pray to God that way. I'm thinking, just like in my latter years, I've experienced a little sickness, nothing like others, but you wonder, oh God, am I not to be your servant? Do I not need strength to go from place to place? Consider my voice that is used to speak to you. How is it that my voice is so afflicted at this time? You may talk to God about those things. You may reason with God about those things. But always finish it. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Remember that he who taught us to pray, thy will be done, in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed, thy will be done. And, most important, he did that will. Which brings us to this. Talking about the will of God is nothing. Doing the will of God is everything. The Lord Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. So we may talk theologically about all the things that pertain to God. But our Savior said, the ones that do the will of God enter the kingdom of heaven. And so there are some, and let us thank God for this, who when they hear God's will say, I will not do your will. But then it says later, they repent And they say, yes, I will do your will. How gracious is God to think that our Maker tells us to obey, and we say, I will not. Why would he not strike us down? But he does not strike us down. He patiently waits for us to come to our senses, and then we do his will, and he congratulates us for doing that will. And in this case, as I told you about the two sons, it's for the matter of salvation. When God says, come unto me, and sinners say, no, well, God could cut them off. But it says afterward, he repented and did God's will. And that doing God's will was a picture of his entering the kingdom of God. And so let us be thankful that God, when we were sinners and we said no and resisted his will, did not cut us off, but he was long-suffering. He manifested his goodness to us, and later we repented and said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is concerning his will on earth. At times, his will is difficult, but if we can think of it, as John tells us about it in his first epistle, it says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And yet at times it seems so hard to keep the commandments of God, but it says if we love God, his commandments are not grievous. And his will, though difficult, as we consider it as to what it's going to do to us physically and emotionally, yes, it is hard, it is grievous. But then if we love God, it says, his commandments are not grievous. His will is not grievous. Now, the Savior who taught us to pray, thy will be done, prayed, thy will be done, and did God's will, and his soul thrilled to do God's will. Turn to John 4. Our Savior has spoken to the woman at the well of Samaria, and his disciples come upon him, and they're concerned about him because he was weary, and he needed food, and they tell him to eat something. But then, verse 32, but he said unto them, I have food to eat that you know not. The disciples therefore said one to another, hath any man brought him anything to eat? Jesus said unto them, my food is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Now that's great. The most important thing in the life of Christ was to do the will of the Father that sent him, and to finish his work, which means this, that God does not tell us to do something once in our life, and then we do what he tells us, and we say to him, now, I've done your will today, I do not have to do it anymore. But our Lord has a plan for our lives. There are daily requests that he expects us to fulfill, and the Lord Jesus said, I have done his will today, and I desire to finish the work that he gave me to do. Now, turn to chapter 5. Chapter 5. And we're just in chapter 5. Look at verse 30. Verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Again, he proclaims to those who listen to him, that he does God's will. He fulfills it. He carries it out. Now, look in chapter 6. Chapter 6. And look at verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. It means that any sinner, however undesirable he might be, when he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I will not cast him out. Why? Because it says in verse 38, I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, his Father, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone that beholds the Son and believeth on him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, this is the first illustration that I'm going to give you about knowing what the will of God is. Look at verse 40. God has a will concerning the lost, the unsaved. This is the will of my Father, that everyone that sees the Son, beholds him, and believes on him, should have eternal life. So, this is salvation for the lost. But also there is the security of the lost. And he says, I will raise him up at the last day. So God's will is that men look upon the Lord Jesus and find him to be everything that the Father said he was. He came into the world to save sinners, and he is the Savior of sinners, and they behold the Son and say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. And so that results in their salvation. That's the will of God. And the next thing is this, that even if they do die before Christ comes back, that Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, will raise them up at the last day. That's the good will of God. Now, turn to Matthew 18, because this is the most illuminating portion concerning God's will for the lost that you find in the Word of God. I will join it with others, but please notice. Look at verse 13. Our Savior goes out to find that sheep that was lost, and it says, if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. This is what it literally says. It is not a thing will of your Father who is in heaven that one little one perish. That's the greatest encouragement I've ever found to us who preach the gospel. There are those like Calvinists who say it is God's will to condemn these. The scripture says it is not a thing willed of God that one of these little ones perish. Now, I know the will of God. If you ask me, what is the will of God for lost sinners? It is not the will of God that one of these little ones perish. But God says their salvation is conditional upon this. If they behold my Son and believe in him, they have eternal life. And that is my desire. It is not my will that they perish, not one of them. And all they have to do is to look at my Son and receive him as their Savior, and not one of them shall perish. So let no one ever tell you that God's will is that some go to hell. That is a lie of hell. Now, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2. Understand, I just read to you, It is not the will of my Father who is in heaven. This is his will, not his will. Now, let's look in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse 3. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What is his will? What is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior? It is this. He would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. One other scripture in 2 Peter 3. I want you to see this and read it. 2 Peter 3. And look at verse 8. But forget not this one thing, beloved, that 1,000 years, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day, one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, a threefold cord is not easily broken. My Savior has said, it is not a thing willed of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish. It is never God's will. If they perish, it is their own will. I will quote you this for the sake of time. Our Savior wept over Jerusalem, and concerning Jerusalem, this is what he said. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I, that is, I would, my will, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And so the reason that men are saved is not that God wills them to be lost, but the reason that men are not saved is that they will not come unto Christ. That's what he says in John's Gospel. He said, you will not come unto me, that you might be saved. One other scripture in Ezekiel chapter 33. I want you to see this. Ezekiel 33. And look at verse 11. 33:11 of Ezekiel. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye, for from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? So if you ever are convinced by anybody that it's God's will for sinners to be lost, that God has pleasure in sending the sinners to hell, then you have believed that in opposition to all the scriptures that I've given you. God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It's no pleasure to God when the Lord Jesus has to say in the coming day, depart ye cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. God said, I have no pleasure in that. My pleasure was that all men might be saved. But there is a condition that you look upon my Son and you trust him as Savior. And if you'll do that, that's all you have to do. Then you shall be saved. That is my will. My will negatively is, it is not a thing willed of your Father who is in heaven that any little one perish. Well then, positively, what is the will of your Father in heaven? That every little one is saved. Right. This is a sad thing, and someday I may discuss it more with you, but I find scriptures that seemingly are contradictory. Turn to Psalm 115. Psalm 115. Look at verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Isn't that remarkable? It says God has done whatsoever he pleased. If you read some scriptures, it seems as if God's will is always done. It is, ultimately. But it is like this. As God said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his evil way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, O Israel, or why will you die? God says, my will is that they turn. But if they will not turn, my will is to allow them to remain in their lost condition and perish. You'll just have to think this thing through. Because, as in Daniel 4, let's look at Daniel 4 now. Daniel 4, and look at verse 34. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That is plain enough that whatever occurs on earth did not overcome the power of God and control of God. But I will use this word, though you do not find it in the scripture. There is the will of God that I know to be this, that not one little one perish. But at the same time, I know that the will of God is this, that if the little one will not trust Jesus Christ as his Savior, that he will perish. This is what God wants us to know. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Because this is an example, if you may use that word, of the permissive will of God. Verse 4. Samuel 8, verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, behold, you are old, and your sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us, like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they rejected me, that I should be king, not be king over them. And one scripture, Hosea 13. Notice he said to give them that king. But let's just see how he felt when he told them to be given a king. Look at verse 10. 13:10. Where now is thy king, that he may save thee and all thy cities, and thy judges of whom thou saidst, give me a king and princes. I have given thee a king in my anger, and have taken him away in my wrath. And so understand that there are things that we ask, and God allows them. And so there is God's will as to what he would directly want to come to pass. And then there are those things that if we insist upon a thing, or if we refuse to accept His will, then there is that which He allows to come to pass, and it's to our ruin. So this is a little bit about the will of God, and later we shall continue in His will. Let us pray. Our Father, we're so thankful that Your Son came down from heaven not only to teach us about Thy will, but to do Thy will. And He did the greatest thing that Your will ever required of man. He went to the cross and died for us, that not one of those lost sheep should perish. Our hearts are encouraged forever because Your Son has told us Your will. It is not a thing willed of My Father that one of these little ones should perish. Our Father, there are so many things that are happening in the world, horrible things, and we cannot understand them. And yet we have seen that men have brought all of these things upon them, and You, our Father, could have averted them. But sins bring sorrow and pain and reproach upon nations and on men. And our Father, if they will not have You, the Prince of Peace, then they shall have just as it says. The wicked are like the troubled sea, and it cannot rest. There is no peace, saith My God, to the wicked. So help us to understand Your will. It is good, our Father. And let us remember that whatever comes to pass, You are still Lord of heaven and earth. And we pray concerning us as Your Son prays. Thy will be done, Father, on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.